great.
All right, Jehovah say, good morning, good morning. Let us begin. We are continuing Mirz Hashem this morning in the Hakdoma, in the introduction to Oros HaTshuva. And as Dr. Gavan just reminded me today, Baruch Hashem is the yahrzeit of Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk, Gimel El today. So Baruch Hashem, a tremendous opportunity to learn the Rav's Torah on his yahrzeit. The Mirz Hashem, we should hope that in the Mirz Hashem Torah is precious and beautiful and holy neshama should have an aliyah, and he should continue to, I'm sure, advocate for Klal Yisrael on high. Bring the geula b'mehira b'yameinu. So Rav Kook continues in his beautiful poetic form. He says, "Hineni motze es atzmi." I'm on the handout that I sent out. I'm on page 4. But I believe that's where we left off. Hineni motze es atzmi lo telachshav ledaber tamid al odosa. Rav Kook says, I find myself ultimately, now nota means almost like predisposed, leaning to. I find myself constantly leaning to think about and to speak all about tshuva. Remember again what we see, even though Rav Kook has not offered us a definition yet, but we clearly see just from the way that he's writing that tshuva is so much more than simply a repentance process. It's so much more than just simply the reparative process to deal with sin, but rather it's something bigger. I find myself constantly leaning and to think about this, to talk about this. Harbei kasav b'Torah b'neviim u'b'divrei chacham al odosa. There is so much written in the Torah, in Navi, Divrei Chachamim, Gemara, all about tshuva, right? So Rav Kook is saying over there's probably no concept in Yiddishkeit that is as heavily discussed, that is as heavily focused on than the concept of tshuva. Page 6. He says, Ulodoreinu, this is amazing, Ulodoreinu, Adayin Hadvarim Stumin Usrichim Berer. And ultimately, again, yet, in our contemporary time, the whole matter of tshuva is still something that is so hidden and requires explanation. So we'll say, and this is amazing. On one hand, you have no concept that is as heavily discussed, as heavily spoken about, as heavily, you know, focused on in Yiddishkeit, and yet we don't understand it. We don't understand it. And I will say, we're going to talk about this. The concept of tshuva itself is one that is profoundly counterintuitive, because the way the world works is, you know, one of Newton's laws, right? That every event, every action creates a corresponding reaction. So the way the world works is simply cause and effect. Tshuva goes against the very notion of cause and effect. Tshuva says, you could take an event and you could reverse it. You could take an event and you could undo it. You could take an event that occurred in the past and you could fundamentally change what it is. Remember, without even getting into it, but just thinking about this as an example, Yimar talks about the distinction between tshuva me'ava, tshuva me'ira. Tshuva that is done out of fear versus tshuva that is done out of love. Leaving aside what that actually means, what the mechanics of that are, just think about this just a second. If you do tshuva me'ira, tshuva out of fear, what does that do? Yimar says, it transforms your intentional averos into accidental averos. Incredible. If you do tshuva me'ava, tshuva motivated out of love, which is the highest level of tshuva, what does it do? It turns your averos into mitzvos. Averos into mitzvos. Now, I will say, try explaining that one. Try explaining that one. It doesn't make any sense. In this world, the one thing you can never do, I will say, what's the one thing you never do in this world? One thing you can't do. Well, you can't, I have two things you can't do, right? You can't agree dive. You also can't change the past. My dahava hava, right? You can't change the past. In other words, I could think about the past, I could grow from the past, I could learn from the past, I could regret the past. That's the one thing you can't do is just say, you know, if I look back at yesterday, I'm like, oh, you know what? I shouldn't have said that thing. I shouldn't have done that thing. Or I wish I would have maximized that hour. Okay, I'll do better today. But you can't change it. Yet tshuva says you can. Tshuva says you can change your past. You could rewrite your past. You could recategorize. Oh, so Rav Kook says, it's incredible to think about that there is so much ink that has been spilled about tshuva, and yet as we stand here today, we don't understand it. We don't understand it. He goes on, he says, Hasifros, Hamishotetes bechal hazavios sheyesh bam shira v'chayim. So sifros. So we'll say, so in this context, sifros really means like rabbinic literature. Rabbinic literature, which ultimately, again, also you'll see sometimes, and this is really fascinating, Rav Kook writes in such advanced Hebrew, right? He doesn't, he's not just simply using Lashon HaKodesh, he uses Ivrit. He uses Ivrit, which is part of also what makes the Sefer just a little bit complicated. So Sifros, literally again is if you look like in modern Hebrew, Sifrut means literature. So ultimately, but here he's referring to rabbinic literature. Sifros hamishotetes bechol hazavios sheyesh bem shira v'chayim. So the question over here. So literature, rabbinic literature, which delves into all the different areas of life in which there is shira, which literally means song, which means joy, and chayim, life. So rabbinic literature, which covers everything, lo chadra klal lesoch otzer hachayim hanifla hazeh, has not been able to shed sufficient light into this incredible, otzer means like a repository, a storehouse of life. So he's talking about the idea that you have a concept called Shiva, which we're going to see. Shiva is one of those concepts that existed before the world was created, whatever this means, right? So Shiva existed before the Shiva, Torah existed before the world was created. There's so much in Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Mishnah, Gemara, so much rabbinic literature, and yet we still don't understand it. Nothing has completely shed light on this dramatic dynamic. Be'emes, listen to this. In reality, we have not really even fully begun to really explore the true depths of tshuva. Lada'as es tchunoso ve'erko, to understand its nature and ultimately, again, its value. Afilu mitzat ha-piyuti shumelavev le'in cheker, even from the piyutic side. Now, what's a piyut? A piyut is Jewish liturgy. Poetry, song, even from the Jewish poetic song, from the song perspective, where often we delve into the most beautiful and esoteric aspects of Yiddishkeit, shehu melaveiv le'in cheker, it inspires us, you know, without end. Kal v'chomer shel nokva et etzba adayin al dvar tzido ha'ma'asi. So we'll say, so we don't understand tshuva fully from a spiritual perspective. We don't understand tshuva fully from a behavioral perspective. And specifically, what we don't fully grasp is how to apply tshuva to the new realities of our lives. Incredible. This is absolutely incredible. The way Rav Kook, without even speaking about what the concept of tshuva is, fundamentally focusing ultimately on how profound and overwhelming and overreaching it is, and how we truly don't grasp. Let's finish the intro today. Anochi, therefore, Rav Kook says, Anochi, hineni nidchav me'atzmosi ha'pnimis ledabre al dvar tshuva. Therefore, Rav Kook says, I am compelled. Nidchav literally means like pushed. I am compelled from my inner essence to speak about tshuva. I have to speak about this. Now, you understand what's compelling Rav Kook, what's compelling him. What's compelling him is really two things. Number one, the centrality of this concept. And number two, the fact that no one understands it. So Rav Kook feels this almost as like his moral obligation to shed light on this, to explain this dynamic. Behinini, nislad ba'atzmi machshavti. And Rav Kook says, but yet then I think about this, and I'm almost like repelled back by my thoughts. Nislat means like to pull away. I'm pulled away internally. Why? He says, listen to this. Haroi anochi ledabra al dvar ha-tshuva. Am I really worthy? Am I really worthy of delving into tshuva? You know, sometimes certain things are so profound that you kind of have to leave them alone in their profundity. You have to let them be. You just have to let them be. See, here he says, on one hand, I feel this incredible push to speak about tshuva, to explore tshuva, to understand tshuva. And then I think to myself, am I worthy of this? Am I worthy of this? He goes on, he says, So again, the great men of past generations spoke about tshuva. Hanavim, hachachamim, hayoser tahorim, hachasidim, hayoser gidolim. So great men of past generations, they spoke about tshuva. Ve'ech yuch uchal anochi lehis yaseh v'kalam. What right do I have to add my insights to the greatest mystery of the universe, after much greater men of previous generations put pen to paper in an effort to explain this, and yet never fully did? What right? It's almost like a hubris, like an arrogance. What right do I have to involve myself in this process? Look what he writes. He also says it's beautiful. Avalosuchal kol chulsha ba'olam lepatreni mitviasi. But yet Rav Kook says, at the same time, hapanimis. Yet at the same time, nothing could hold me back from fulfilling what I feel is my greatest inner work. Isn't this incredible? You know, this struggle, this first sight, and you see like this multiple layers. Jews we just struggle, right? There's just multiple layers of struggle over here. Struggle to understand what tshuva is, and then should I really be the person who is commenting on this, who's talking about this, who's teaching this? But yet, how can I not? I can't hold myself back. Last page 8, he says, Mukhrok ani ledaber al dvar tshuva. I am compelled to speak about tshuva. V'davka b'tzidga ha-sifruti v'ha-ma'asi. And specifically, from a literature perspective, in other words, to explain the mechanics and to explain actually the details, the ma'asi. How do we do this? La'havanas ha-tochen shela b'dorenu. To explain the essence of tshuva for us contemporarily, u'la-hag-shamasa b'chayim. And how does tshuva actualize in life? How does tshuva come to life both in the life of the individual and the life of the nation? This, says Rav Kook, is what I feel is my sacred task. Maybe I'm worthy, maybe I'm not worthy. But one thing is clear, I can't abstain from this holy mission. Mosai, that concludes the introduction to Aros HaTshuva. We'll stop over here for today. Such a schus to finish HaKdama on the yard site. Yard Hashem tomorrow morning, Perek Aleph. Chapter 1. Shkoyach. Yes, I'll yeah. We could, I'll check out. It is on Safari also, so I'm gonna go ahead and you will source it and see if it gets on.